Blog Talk Radio. I'm the messenger of God, stepping out of Beulah. From Babylon, Zion, my chains are looser in my mind. But out here, the Jakes are shooting. The judge judged for hire, the jury's a straight liar. Just to see Israel fried up. They got our phones tapped and wired up. The police got you stuck. No one desires us. This law requires us to buy this man's trust. Pay to get salvation. Who you playing? But I pulled you out. I seen you starving. False lights. My spirit spit lyrics so cold. You fight. And that's the attitude from your murderous flight. From your rapists every night. And young boys shot down in the street. And they mama's sight. Your old kids call this the good life. Like the hood's right. Right, Zion. Yes, right. What that's right.
Hallelujah. All praises to the mighty Yah, the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Ishya Yisrael from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. Here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we'd like to say shalom to all those that have tuned in our internet audience, for we know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of great love and great fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that there is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only King and the only Redeemer and the only Savior of Israel and the world. And it is Yahweh who has ordained us and raised us up to bring you His words of truth. And that's what we will do today. And tonight, we're going to continue our discussion dealing with the seven ways Yahweh delivers His nation from another nation. Began last week dealing with how Yahweh takes a nation from another nation. Specifically, how He delivered Israel from the nation of Egypt. The seven things Yahweh said that He will do to get His people from out of this nation. And those seven things are mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. You could begin reading in the 32nd verse. And it reads here, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath there been heard like it? Did ever a people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you has heard and live? Or has Elohim assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by one, temptations, by two, signs, by three, wonders, by four, war, and by five, a mighty hand, by six, a stretched out arm, and the seventh thing, great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Has there been such a thing like this? No, there hasn't been such a thing like this since Yahweh did this thing. And will there be such a thing like this? Only when Yahweh will do this thing once again. Yahweh is the only one that can take him, a nation, from the midst of another nation in this method. No, you can't have another country liberate you in this way. You can't have another political party liberate you in this way. You can't have no one in nothing other than the Almighty Yahweh deliver you in the manner in which He delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, which was by temptations, signs, wonders, a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, war, a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, and great terrors. And tonight, we're going to discuss the fourth thing that Yahweh used to deliver His nation from the midst of another nation. The fourth thing He used was war. And war has its time, because there's a time and a purpose to everything done under heaven. So go to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse reads, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." The reason the time that went with temptations was one or the first thing. It's because this is how Yahweh deals with you. See if you're going to be serving him or not. He's going to tempt you. He's going to get right at the chief thing that drives you, and that's your heart. And he got right in the center of what drove Egypt, their water. Egypt, a land that depends on that river, that great river of Egypt. This is what that nation, even still today, depends on. That Nile River and every water that flowed from it. And what did Yahweh do? He turned it to blood because he needed to tempt these people and show them that he can strike them in the front thing, the center thing, the most chiefest thing in their lives. And how did Yahweh deal with Israel in the wilderness? The temptations. He tempted us. We were tempted. And we failed 10 times. And the mighty Yah tempts you to see if you will serve him or not. And then the second thing that will establish what Yah says and what Yah does, he's going to bring these signs. And these signs are from heaven. That's why the Creator put the signs in the heaven. He said that these signs shall, he said these lights shall be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And Yahweh showed many signs. And you know they was from heaven. The locust was from heaven. The fly was from heaven. The lice, all of it was from heaven. All of these great signs the Creator showed. He gave Moses a sign. Said, this month shall be the beginning of months unto you. All these great things the Creator did in its season and in its time, so you can see the purpose. Well, what less would be then for the wonders? The third thing, which Yahweh used one of his wonders. He has seven wonders, and he used Moses, one of his great wonders, to even be his prophet, to deliver the message unto Pharaoh. And he showed these great wonders in Egypt. And he used Aaron and Moses to do so. But the fourth thing that Yahweh will do, the fourth thing that Yahweh will use in order to deliver his people, in order to get him a nation from the midst of another nation, he will use war. And in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the seventh verse, it states, or the eighth verse, says, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. See, this is what all these things are. They're opposing times. It's a war. That's what a war is, a battle between two different sides. And Yahweh had to show war. But how does Yahweh war with man? What does Yahweh do to war with man? What did Yahweh even say about this? Look in the book of Isaiah. I believe I want the 41st chapter in Isaiah. No, go to Isaiah 47. Start reading at the first verse. Yahweh said, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin, daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Talking about you, America. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare thy leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Meaning, Yahweh, he don't deal with the nations like a man would. He don't build tanks, and he don't build missiles, and he don't build guns to take on man. He don't meet thee as a man. Well, how is Yahweh going to deal in war? You see, the fourth thing that Yahweh did was war. And why the fourth? Well, what does war do? War does something. War is because of the result of something. And what is this result that war comes about? Go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. The heathens will tell you to study a book called The Art of War, because that's why these Asian so-called heathens called their craft martial arts in English. Martial arts, which martial is just war arts. And these heathens will tell you to study the art of war. But if you really want to know how to deal in war, because there's a time for war and a time for peace. See, don't think that Yahweh is just about peace. No, at the end result, he's about peace. But in order to get this peace, you need and must and will deal in war. But how does Yahweh deal with war? In Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse, in the Creator says, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. You see, the very first thing that these lights are for, that these signs are for, is to divide the day from the night. And this is what war is about. Division. There's division. This is why you have the war. And so, why else would Yahweh make war the fourth thing? Because he's going to use division. But the way Yahweh uses division is completely and utterly different than the way we use division. Yahweh divides for a specific reason. Why does Yahweh divide? What does he want to establish when he divides? Does he want to establish that I'm better than you and you suck? No, he wants to establish his holiness. He wants to establish what he represents, what he's about, so you don't get it confused to think Yahweh is about something else. He must, because Yahweh, his way is equal. Yahweh hates a false balance, so he's not going to have something all right over here And all right over there, there has to be some kind of semblance of difference made so that you know you're dealing with the Creator. So therefore, there's going to have to be a battle. There's going to have to be a war. And what do you think Yahweh did on the fourth day? He made the light to divide the day from the night. And that's why the night don't get along with the day, and the day don't get along with the night. That's why the darkness don't get along with the light, and the light don't get along with the darkness. They're two opposites, and one will prevail, and one won't. One has its time, and the other has its time. And Yahweh does this thing in the fourth order, in the fourth season, in the fourth day, in the fourth time. And why? Because he wants to divide so you can know what he represents. And what does Yahweh want on the fourth? Yahweh wants his praise. So what is this war for at the end of the day? It's to give Yahweh his praise. And let's show you this is what Yahweh does. For instance, what did Yahweh show us in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter? And as we go there, just remember, Yah said that all of his ways are judgment. All of them. And what's judgment? Judgment means being measured. Judgment is about measurement. There has to be some order to this thing. Things are not just random when you're dealing with the Creator. That's why he's perfect, because all his ways are judgment, which means he don't randomly bake a cake. He don't randomly make the earth. He don't randomly shine the sun. He don't randomly conduct war. Yahweh did it with judgment, with measurement, so it can be determined to be exact, because Yahweh is perfect. So when he conducts warfare, you better believe it's for a purpose. And that purpose is so his praise will be established. And in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse reads, "And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And we teach here at the House of Israel of Cincinnati, this prophecy is about us, and that the 400th year is now, and 400th year will conclude in the fourth year of Yah's Sabbath of years. And look what will happen in this time. In this time, he says, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge." Meaning he's going to determine. He's going to give a sentence to this nation that we serve. He's going to weigh them and determine their consequence for the way they treated us. And what do you think he'll do? He's going to judge, and afterward, they shall come out with a great substance. And you, talking to Abraham, shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. But, verse 16, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Yes, why the fourth generation? To do what? To judge the Amorites. It's not filled. That means there has to be a battle. There will be a battle. In what generation? The fourth generation. And when did Yahweh say he will take a nation from the midst of another nation? And the fourth thing he'll use is war. And on the fourth day is when he divided the day from the night. Because Yahweh wants to establish his praise. And you can't have the holy praises of Yah going up until you have everything unholy going down. It's a natural battle that must occur. And Yahweh shows you how he even does it amongst the children of men. In the book of Daniel, the second chapter, we'll see if Yahweh's word is consistent or if I'm just playing roll the dice with some numbers. Are we speaking the word of the Most High? Are we showing you things that Yahweh actually does? Or are we making it up and doing some old numerologist trick? Or is this actually how the Creator operates? Well, of course, this is what Yahweh does, because no one else does it like this. That's what makes Yahweh holy. That's what makes Yahweh peculiar. That's what makes Yahweh the only Elohim. Because you can't find no other place, no other book, no other nation, and no other way that shows you how the Most High operates. And why would he show us this? He wants you to know how to apply your heart to wisdom so that you may keep the law. And in Daniel, the second chapter, let's see if Yahweh is going to conduct warfare, if he's going to divide, and if it's going to be for his praise. And in Daniel, the second chapter, the 40th verse reads here. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And what is war conducted with in this time under these kingdoms? Iron, 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 iron. Using iron to make their weapons, iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break it in pieces and bruise. Doesn't that sound like a battle? Doesn't that sound like warfare? And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay. Why else is the fourth kingdom divided? Because this is what Yahweh does for the fourth. He'll make this division to bring about his praise so you can know that it is that time to praise. Verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken, which it is. That's why there's so much war amongst it. 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, talking about Israel. But they shall not cleave one to another, because it's a war, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in those days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Yes, this is Yahweh showing Nebuchadnezzar that the fourth kingdom that comes after him will be the last kingdom until Yahweh establishes his kingdom, and it will be gotten by war, it will be gotten by division, and it will be gotten for the purpose of Yah's praise. If you want to see and know that this is very consistent, just look at the seventh chapter of Daniel. Because this fourth thing, which is war, is for a purpose. The purpose is for Yah's praise. Yes, this is why Yahweh does war in the fourth, because he wants praise. And the only way he's going to get that praise is to make sure he wins the battle. And when he wants that battle, it's going to come in this fourth time. In Daniel, the seventh chapter, start reading in the 19th verse. It reads, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." Why the fourth beast? Why the fourth kingdom? Why the fourth day? Why the fourth generation? Because Yah wants his praise. And Yah is going to get this praise through this war. "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet." Doesn't that sound like war? "And on the tenth, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up," which means 11, because he had 10. Another one came up, total 11. And 11 is in the order of 4. "And before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn from this fourth beast made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Why? Why did it make war? Why did the fourth beast make war? Why is the fourth kingdom warring? Why is the fourth generation returning? Why is the fourth day dividing? Why did Yahweh say that the fourth thing he would use to take a nation from the midst of another nation is war? Because this is how he's going to get his praise. And so he saw this horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So even though the fourth beast was winning the war, Yahweh comes and makes sure he's put down. Then said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all of the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and shall break it in pieces. Why is all this division from the fourth? Before the four beasts reign, you had all nations, indigenous people, to themselves, not having to be divided and separated and colonized and conquered. But when the fourth beast came, he began conquering and dividing nations, making his own maps and cutting the world up into its own pieces that he wanted it to pit one people against another people. All this nation does is divide and conquer. This is a nation of warfaring people. Because why? They're the fourth beast. And who is this fourth beast? None other than the children of Greece. And who is Greece? The children of Javan. And look in Genesis, the 10th chapter. Are we rolling dice, playing numbers, or is this a consistent stream and theme and message throughout the word of the Creator? In Genesis, the 10th chapter, just look, and of course, the fourth verse. But let's get some history on what we're talking about. Verse 2 says, the sons of Japheth. First one, Gomer. Second one, Magog. Third one, Madai. Fourth one, Javan. And who is Javan? Javan is the father of all the Grecians, all the Romans, the fourth son of Japheth. The fourth beast is Greece. You don't believe it? Just look in the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter. And what are we discussing? Yahweh said that he will deliver his nation, that he did deliver his nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, which is the first thing, by signs, which of course come from heaven and are in heaven. And why else would these signs be in heaven that divided the day from the night? The third thing, wonders. And as they divided the day from the night, Yahweh's signs showed you how his war gets his praise. And so in Daniel, the 8th chapter, you'll see here, in verse 19, he said, "And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media, which is Madai, the third son of Japheth. Madai or Media and Persia. And Persia is the third son of Japheth. Persia is a descendant of Madai. Media was the second beast, and Persia was the third beast, and this Persia is also a descendant of Madai, a Gentile. Yes, and it is the third beast, King Cyrus, that told Yahweh's servant on earth to return to Jerusalem. But it's this verse 21 that came after the third beast, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. In Hebrew, Yavan. Javan. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So you see, the fourth beast is Greece. And in all its descendants, Greece, Rome, and everyone that came out of these kingdoms. That's the fourth beast. that created this endless track of warfare, endless track of division, but it will have an end. Nonetheless, it will have an end. But also, just to magnify to you that Yahweh deals with this war in the fourth time. That's its measurement. That's its judgment. That's its order. That's its season. That's when Yahweh does this thing. This war comes in the fourth. Go to the book of Judges, the first chapter. In Judges, we're going to start at the first chapter. Verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Yahshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked Yahweh, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" Of course, this fight, one nation don't fight another nation, and you don't call it, you know, I mean, a basketball game. This is a war. Who's going to go up to the other nation to fight against them? And who you think Yahweh was going to pick? Verse 2, "And Yahweh said, Yehuda, the fourth tribe, shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Yehuda said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me unto my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And likewise, I will go with you into your lot." So Simeon, and who's Simeon? The second born of Yah. And what's that significance? That second, which is in the heavens, were made, held the lights in heaven to divide. Why else did he go to Simeon, the second born? Because they have a, what you would call, symbiotic relationship. You're going to see this two and this four with each other repeatedly. He said unto Simeon, went with him, and Yehuda went up. And Yahweh delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek, 10,000 men. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so Elohim have requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died." And just for trivia's sake, how many fingers and toes did he have left on each hand and each foot? 4. Just for trivia's sake, just showing you the consistency. But in verse 8, "Now the children of Yehuda had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and had smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Yehuda went down and fought against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain, and in the south, and in the valley. All Yehuda went against the Canaanites and dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, and they slew Sheshai, and Imon, and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to whom will I give Achash, my daughter, to wife? And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Akash, his daughter, to wife. And you see, this was Yehuda going through the land first, conquering by war. And why? Because Yahweh wants his praise. When? First. And Yahweh began the year on the fourth day. Why? Because his praise comes first. And Yehuda gotten and began taking the land of Yehuda by war first. And who? Or what year did this thing begin to happen? When did Yehuda even take its land? In the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, it starts reading in verse 10, and now behold, Yahweh has kept me alive. This is what Caleb is saying. As he said, these 45 years, even since Yahweh spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now for war. And Caleb, a Yehudanite, ready for war. In the 11th verse, the order for, ready for war. Both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof Yahweh spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be Yahweh will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And when did this happen? When Caleb was 85. And how old was Caleb when they came out of Egypt? He was 40 years old. In what year on Yah's Sabbath of years did we come out of Egypt? The first year. The first year. So if he's 85, 45 years later, you know what year that is? It's the fourth year. And when did Caleb say he was ready for war? In the fourth year. And what tribe is Caleb from? The fourth tribe. And what tribe began taking the land first after Joshua died? Yehuda, the fourth tribe. Because why? Yahweh wants his praise. So he's dividing, and his division in the children of men is a war that must occur. This is how Yahweh gets his people in his land. And this is how Yahweh will get his praise. Go to the book of Exodus, the 8th chapter. If you can't understand, or if you think that we're just playing bingo with the numbers. No, this is consistent throughout the word of Yahweh. When you look in the fourth, it's even dealing with his praise in war. And in Exodus, the 8th chapter, start reading in verse 16 to show you what the third plague that Yahweh did against Pharaoh. And Yahweh said in verse 16 of chapter 8 of Exodus, and Yahweh said to Moses, say unto Aharon, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his rod, his hand, with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth. And why the earth? Because the earth was made on the third day. See, Yah, all his ways are judgment. He's perfect. for all his ways are judgment. There's nothing random that Yahweh does. So it wasn't random that he had Aaron smite the earth, which was made on the third day, create the lice, which was the third plague. He said the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto his Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yahweh had said. And Yahweh said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith Yah, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy house, and the house of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever, which means divide, which means separate. And this is the fourth plague. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. And in thou mayest know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Why would he do that? Why did he wait till the fourth plague to put a division between Yahweh's people and Pharaoh's people? Why did he wait till the fourth plague to declare that he would make him know that it's Yahweh that does these things? And what was the cause of this fourth plague? Well, let's see. Verse 24. And Yahweh did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh. See, Yahweh said he ain't going to meet you like a man. You might have a bomb. You might have a machine gun, but Yahweh has swarms of flies that will come all up in your house. So many flies. Let's see. Grievous swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. Land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your Elohim in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do so. For we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians. And Yahweh our Elohim, lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yah our Elohim. And he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to Yah your Elohim in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I will go out from thee, and I will entreat Yah that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go sacrifice unto Yah. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yah. So what did Yah show you? that in this fourth plague, which is obviously a plague of war, he made Pharaoh, though he lied at the end, he made Pharaoh say, go ahead and sacrifice. Give Yah his praise. But make sure you entreat Yah for me, meaning pray to Yah for me. See, this war created Pharaoh to even ask for prayer. This war allowed Pharaoh to even tell us to go give praise, though he lied, because Yahweh hardened his heart. But that does not undo the fact that Yahweh divided the children of Israel at this time from the children of Egypt to make the difference and to show the division. And it was for Yahweh's praise. This is why Yahweh does this war in the order of the fourth. And do you think that this will not be what Yahweh will do again? Yahweh will do this thing again. And what will Yahweh do again? Look in the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 49, we'll begin reading in verse 22. Thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be among thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. And they shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Yahweh's asking you, when does this thing happen? The prey taken out of the mighty, the lawful captive delivered? Like he did take the nation from the midst of another nation? He said, verse 25, but thus saith Yah, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And you can't take away someone mighty. You can't take away their property, their captives, their possession without a war. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know I, Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov. Yahweh's going to do this. He said he's going to contend with those that contend with you, meaning he's going to go to war. And who are we going to go to war with? Who are we going to use to go to war? Look in the book of Jeremiah. The 51st chapter, where it reads in Jeremiah 51, verse 17, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, He is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Yahweh of hosts is his name. Verse 20. Thou art my battle axe and my weapons of war. And what did he make Israel for? His praise. And why? Because we're his weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider, and with thee also will I break in pieces the man and the woman, and with thee will I break in pieces the old and the young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young and the old, the man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith Yah. And who's he using? Israel. And who's Israel? His firstborn. And what is Israel for? His praise. And when do you give Yah his praise? In the fourth. And when does Yahweh divide? In the fourth. And what does he divide for? His praise. And how does he divide amongst the children of men? Through war. And it's a time for war. But look also in Isaiah 41. Let's see who he's going to use. Verse 13. For I, Yahweh, thy Elohim, will hold thy hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, thou worm Yaakov, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, saith Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills chaff, and shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in Yah, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because in the fourth, he even made you a threshing instrument having teeth. And who is he talking about? In Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Look what it says here, to show you about this threshing instrument having teeth. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, first verse reads, and there shall come out forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. And what's the fourth spirit? You got wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. The fourth spirit. Why would you need might? Because you need to praise Yahweh with all your might. But you need might to fight a war. Might, the spirit of knowledge, of the and of the fear of Yahweh. And thou shalt make him of quick understanding, the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. What are you doing a war? You slay the wicked. You smite and you slay. And what is he going to use? His mouth. And why? Because the words of Yahweh are all you need to fight this war. That's why he's making you a new threshing instrument, having teeth, because your mouth is going to slay the wicked. Even in Isaiah 55. Let's see what he's. In Isaiah 55th chapter, verse 1 reads, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine without milk, without money. Come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, fourth verse, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander." Who? David is the leader. David is the commander. David is a commander of armies. Why? Because David is from the fourth tribe of Yahuwah. That's where he picked his king from. And David was a great warrior. In Psalms 18, even. Look here. And what is 18? It's the order of four. Because why? Because Yahweh does this thing. This peculiar way that Yahweh constructs and designs. The fourth is praise. But the fourth is also for war. But if you want to lift up Yah's praises, then what has to go down? Of course, evil, pride, wickedness, arrogance, hate, all the things that keep you away. You have to separate yourself from them. And the only way you're going to do that is through this war. In Psalms 18, we'll start at verse 30. And it reads, it's what David said. "As for Elohim, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is Elohim save Yahweh? Or who is a rock save our Elohim? It is Elohim that girdeth me with strength, that maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon the high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arm." That's what Yahweh did for David. Taught his hands to war. Why? Because David was the greatest warrior in Israel. And what did David do? He settled the land of Israel, established his kingdom in Jerusalem, because this was for his praise. David did all of this for his praise. Why else do you think David wanted to build a house unto Yah in the land of Jerusalem? Because it was for his praise. Why else did David go in battle for this land? Because it was for Yah's praise. Just to reintroduce you, look in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. In Leviticus 19, verse 23 reads, "And when you come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised 3 years. Shall it be uncircumcised unto you? It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy, to praise Yahweh with all." This is what you do in the fourth. Praise Yahweh. But if you're going to praise Yahweh, what got to go down? wickedness. And you might have to fight to rid yourself of wickedness. What do you think humbling yourself is? It's a war between you and your heart, your spirit and your heart. You want to serve Yah? Well, then you must humble yourself. And if you're going to humble yourself, you're going to fight a war with your heart. Your heart is going to use tactics and deceit and temptations and all kind of things to attempt to get you to feed heart. But what you have to do is break the heart. Humble yourself. No, heart, I'm not going to do it. And fight that war and give Yahweh his praise so that you can prevail in the war. Obviously, that's what this whole thing is for. Look at the book of Numbers. Incidentally, what is the book of Numbers? The book of Numbers is the fourth book of the Holy Scriptures, the fourth book of the Torah. And what's the fourth? It shows you how Yahweh divides. Why do you think Numbers is named that? Because it showed the divisions of the warriors in Yahweh's army, Yahweh's host. And in chapter 21 of Numbers, verse 14, well, let's start at verse 12. It says, from thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zared. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh forth out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is in the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of Yahweh, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. Well, what is the book of the wars of Yahweh? There's only one book where you'll read about multiple battles that Yahweh did for Israel. And that is the book of Numbers, which is the fourth book of the Holy Scriptures, of the Torah. You don't read one book which is dealing with the courses of the armies, how many men is in the military, how many battles, and where they went, and who they battled, and why they battled, and how they battled. This is the book of the wars of Yah. The fourth book, which shows forth what? His signs, because that's what numbers are. They're signs. Numbers are nothing but words that signify purpose. And what it is saying in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to every purpose, and that time is known by signs. Time is nothing but a measurement. Yahweh's war comes in the fourth, and we're going into the fourth year of Yah's Sabbath of years. Why else would Yahweh have us bring forth this message in the 11th month, which is nothing but the order of four? Why else would you have to see and realize that now even Trump's impeachment decision will come on the fourth day of the week? Even the 116th Congress, which is in the order of four, will be residing over Israel and the government when Yahweh brings forth his deliverance. Even in the fourth year will Yahweh deliver his people. This is the time. But even in the ancient time? When did Yahweh deliver his people? On the fourth day, when they passed over our houses and smote all the firstborn of Egypt. That was the fourth day. And this is the order of Yah. This is how Yah operates. Yes, it's different than anything else. And you have to be shown the word of the Creator to even know it. But Yahweh did this thing in order for his praise. Look in Psalms 100, I believe, in 49, 149 Psalms. Yes, look at Psalms 149. I'm just going to start from the first verse. It says, praise ye Yah, sing unto Yahweh a new song, and praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them that praise his name in the, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For Yahweh taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of Elohim be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why would Yahweh allow such a thing? The high praises of Elohim in your mouth, but a two-edged sword in your hand? Yeah, because praises come with war. Yahweh wants his praises, and he wants to put down the wicked, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Hallelujah. This is the way of the Creator. He said, has there been any Elohim that have essayed to go and get him a nation out of the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and great terrors? Only Yah does this. And now Yahweh has shown you when he does this, how he does this, why he does this, and who he does it for. He does it for his servant, the one that will give him his praise, the one that will lift up his praise, the one that will sing his praise. The high praises of Elohim in our mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Because you gotta understand, Yahweh comes and he'll deal in the art of war like no other. And if you wrought or do Yah's judgment, you'll understand the war. You won't fear in the day of war. And no weapon of war formed against you will prosper. Because Yahweh delivers his servants. And he'll teach your hand to war. So in the upcoming time, War is upon us, but Yahweh is with us. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Praises to the Most High Yahweh, creator of the heavens, earth, and seas, and all that in them be, by singing.
Are you a warrior? Can Yah depend on you? Are you a warrior? Will you please once show us too?